24, 2019. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Not with my better half, Eric Rosenthal. This is I'm simply opening for some audio that I finally got around to from G2E. You know all that audio that I was bragging about that I got at G2E so excited about? Well, I finally got around to some of it. This is Scott Stratton's keynote from G2E. Would have been day two essentially of G2E. And he talks about customer service, essentially talks to a room full of gaming and casino professionals as a gambler. And he touches on a lot of points that I think all of us have thought or said before. So I know a lot of this is going to resonate with you. About halfway through, maybe a little bit further, you'll hear a little bit of transition music. I did pull just a little bit of audio that I think sort of helps the flow and maintains the focus on casinos. So Scott, I do apologize because I'm confident that you're listening. I do apologize for removing some of your beautiful, beautiful content. But for the sake of the better life, I thought there was about 10 or 12 minutes of audio that was easy to pull. So that's what that transition is. But without further ado, Scott Stratton's keynote from G2E. Enjoy.
So, I cannot overstate my excitement for being here right now. You heard in the voice intro that this is my 100th time to Vegas, and that's very accurate and true. My bank account reflects that. And we love this place. I love gaming. I've been obsessed with it for a very, very, very long time in my life. So I want to show you some proof of that, of why. So if you pull up the slides on here, I will show you it. They're there somewhere. All right, there we go. So this is my world at home. So this is my world officially. We do on marketing, on selling, and on branding. We have a bunch of books, many words used, said many of things. But this is my gaming expertise. So this is my current standing at some of the casinos. Those are my player card numbers in case you want to steal them and get some comps of something. So now we're platinum at Cosmo, gold at, that's expired. This is awkward. And don't worry, if you cover the date and just look at them, they'll let you bypass the line if they don't check the date. Insider. That's a gift from my wonderful wife and business partner, Allison. That is the glass case of all my casino chips. I collect them wherever I go. So anybody here who runs a casino, you're welcome. I gave you a dollar and kept the chip, and I'm not cashing it. So screw your accounting. And this is my basement. Oh, I'm Canadian, if you haven't figured that out. Thank you for the half a clap from one person for that. No, don't start clapping now. I don't want your sympathy at all. Yes, we are the North. Go Raptors. That's my custom poker table in the basement, which is now has boxing gloves on it for some apparent reason. The last game got really ugly because you can tell there's boxing gloves on the table and a box of Cards Against Humanity. Like, it got real ugly last time we played poker. And then on the left is a book, The Designing Casinos to Dominate the Competition by Bill Friedman. When I was around 18 to 20, the only thing I asked for as a gift from my mom for Christmas was this 600-page study of the design of casinos. I'm not in the industry. I've never worked in the industry. I love the, what I'm trying to say is I'm a degenerate gambler for my whole life, and I'm happy for it, and I'm excited about it, and I love doing this. I read that cover to cover, and then we came out with a show a few years ago called The Vegas Over 30. And that's Allison, myself, we do the show together. And it's for Vegas for people over 30. The tagline is too old to stand in line for anything, but too young to solely play bingo. And the show is about Vegas, because Vegas is different when you're 21 than you are when you're 41. At least I hope it is. So now when everybody's getting up to go to the club, we're going to bed. That's how it works here. So we do sincerely love this place and everything about it. So that gives you a little bit of my gambling background to it. What I talk about a lot of times is branding and is logos and how this stuff works. So you'll see here is a logo. So psychologists say when we see a logo, we do two things. We think of the most recent experience with the brand we've had or heard, and the most extreme experience with the brand we've had or heard. And branding is a very simple concept. When you see a logo, when you walk this trade show floor, or when somebody sees your slot machine, or your casino, or your app, whatever they think, that's the brand. It's real simple. But this is the key, whatever they think, not what you think. The only opinion of your brand that does not matter is yours. Yes? Because it's not the actual brand. Because you're a wee bit biased. You're paid to be biased. Yes? The true brand statement is ones that people are saying about yours. I couldn't care less what you think of a casino. It's a people going in or not going in's opinion that matters. Just like my opinion of me does not matter, only yours does. When I walked out here, what word popped into your mind? Other than you thought I was a sound guy, what word? Props to my crew. Give my crew a round of applause, if you will. They work hard and rarely get thanked. So front of house and back of house, thank you for what you do. But other than that, what word popped into your head when I walked up here? Go ahead, shout it out. Somebody said crazy, so thank you for that. Somebody said alternative. Thank you. That's a kind way to say, she said alternative, which is a kind way to say you think I'm high right now, so thank you for that. Yeah, I was not pausing for sounds. I was pausing because I'm high right now. So, and I need snacks. But badass, thank you for that. I will give you money for saying that. But the point is, though, that's your thought of me. Your thought right now is either, oh, this is going to be good, or what the hell's happening, or why did I sit down? I could have slept longer today. That's your thoughts right now. You're judging, as I walked out here, whether or not you're going to buy into this right now. That's brand. So what I've worn, what I'm doing, whatever I'm saying, and how I act, and how I strut up and down the catwalk, that's all part of the brand impression. You see, I didn't mean that part of my brand. It just simply is, because everything is, every interaction. You might spend millions. You might spend tens of millions on marketing. This is the gaming industry. You might spend tens of millions on direct mail, right? And direct mail industry thanks you. But all those mailings don't mean a rat's ass if my experience is different than the brand you promised me. When I get a mailing in Toronto, where I live, and if you haven't looked at a map, it's not close to here, and I get a mailing from an unnamed casino that says, "We want you back." And I'm like, "Oh, thank you. It's good to be missed. We want you back so bad, we're going to give you $5 in match free play." By the way, I'm not making this up right now. This is an actual postcard I got as a second highest tier player at this casino. "We really want you back. $5 for a game you don't play." I'm like, "Huh." Never has an industry had so much data about its people and used so little of it. Why? Because I am the one receiving it. I have done this research for decades. So today is going to be a little bit of a release for me for 30 years of this stuff. So if you're easily offended about your industry, you picked a hell of an opening keynote to go to right now, because I have a couple things to add about the industry I adore and I am so passionate about. So, when you look at this logo, when you see a Ritz-Carlton logo, what pops into your head? Class, lifestyle brand, service, right? Nobody says hotel. We know the literal thing of a brand. Nobody ever says, "Oh, when I think of Ritz-Carlton, I picture a severed lion's head impaled on a crown," which is what it is. It's a very violent logo. But we think of, when we've been there, we think of the stories we've heard. So when I see that logo, I think of the most recent experience, which was my last time at Ritz-Carlton was in Philly, and it was great. And so it was awesome, so it was a great reinforcing of the brand. And the most extreme story I know about Ritz-Carlton is Joshy. Joshy is a giraffe and a poorly stuffed one at that. And he was left at the Ritz-Carlton Amelia Island Resort in Florida. Gorgeous resort, been there a couple times. And he was left there by a child, and they flew home to Phoenix when they realized they forgot Joshy. What happens when your kid loses their favorite thing? You can hear a low-grade grumbling right now. Those are parents in the room. How many of you have kids that you know about that you legally stake claim to? Okay, so Allison and I have five kids. five, help. And no, the youngest three are hers, the oldest two are mine. We had a merger a while back. To be perfectly frank with you, it was more of a hostile takeover. The shareholders voted, and that's what happened. We had to let a few kids go. We're a much more efficient family, though, now. Much more streamlined, very process-oriented family, and frankly, much more profitable at this point. It really was. And so the point is, though, you know, when your kid loses your favorite thing, your day is done, and anybody within a mile of you, their day is done as well. Right? Everything, it's all hands on deck to find this thing. It'd be like if you, what's comparable? If you lost your phone. Yes? I asked a room full of parents once at an event, which would you rather lose at the mall, your kid or your phone? You all hesitated, by the way. You, just for the fact you debated it for a moment in your head tells you that something, right? And I also feel the same way. I'm like, the kid would know to go to a security, right? The phone wouldn't, right? The phone has resale value, right? That's how it works. So the dad did what any good father would do in this panic scenario, and he lied to his son, and he said that Joshy was on an extended vacation, which is a good call, Dad. Like, you bought yourself some time, except you may be in trouble, because if you don't find him after extending the lie, you've now made it worse. Oh, Joshy decided to stay because he loves it there and hates us. Like, that, you have nowhere to go, right? You're going to be, you're all in. Gambling term, yes? No? Okay, customization. But you're all in on this lie. So he calls up the Ritz-Carlton, he begs and he pleads and he prays that they found him. And they did. He was rolled up in the laundry, in the sheets. And somebody working in the laundry found him and said, this is important to somebody, and brought it to loss prevention, and loss prevention took it from there. Not only did they find him, and not only did they overnight him back to the awaiting child at no charge to the family, but they also sent back photos of his extended vacation. Joshy getting a treatment at the spa, apparently being treated better than I am, because I never got cucumbers on my eyes when I go to the spa. This is Joshy at the pool. This is Joshy meeting new friends at the bar. Joshy working in loss prevention because he has to pay for his stay. And now that he's an employee of the Ritz-Carlton, they made him, obviously, an ID badge. And yes, it's laminated. If you didn't say "aw" just now, and you're either in your mind or out loud, you're what's known in the industry as a psychopath. You may want to have some self-thought about how you feel about things. They took Joshy, a letter from the GM, the photos, and the ID badge, and overnighted it back to the awaiting child. When you see this logo, when you see Ritz-Carlton, give me a word that comes to mind. Awesome service. Severed lion's head on a crown, yes. Yeah. Do you see how your view of a brand can shift with just a story? A story that didn't happen to you. A story that didn't happen to me. I read about it on a blog post because my friend of mine shared the blog post after he read it on Facebook. We spread emotion. We share stories. So what stories are being shared about your brands? That's the point. Like, what do you think the father did when he got the package? What would you do? You'd tell everybody, right? So when he got the package, he changed his pants because he wet them, and he told everybody because he was so excited. He told everybody. He couldn't wait to tell people about this. He told his neighbors. He blogged about it, which is where I read it. He texted people about it. I need something more relevant to you guys. He faxed it to people. Is that better? Yes? Was that the worst thing I've said so far? It was the fax joke. I made a degenerate gambler joke, but the fax joke is what hit the nerve in the room. Okay, all right. You need to self-reflect on that point, okay, kids? All right, I once had a realtor say, I need you to sign this contract. Please print it out, sign it, and fax it back. I'm like, no problem, 1981, I can do that. And so I did, unbeknownst to him, I just signed it on my phone because that's what I have a phone for, everything but actually phoning people, and I sign it and I send it back. Doc, you sign that bad boy and everything. Bloop, send it back. He's like, thanks so much, Scott. I appreciate it. But actually, unfortunately, you need to fax me the original. I'm like, okay. Do you know how faxes work? They're not actually sending the paper through the, like, and it's going going down there. No, it's actually taking a scan and then sending it through the line, which is exactly what I just did. And I'm like, forget it. Just forget it. I cannot even start to get to this point. But my favorite part of this story isn't even the story. It's the authors of the story. The people who made the most told story about the Ritz-Carlton was not the VP of marketing. It was not Sir Ritz-Carlton himself, who is not a real person. It was a person working in the laundry and a loss prevention associate that has created, that authored, that inspired one of the most told stories about the Ritz-Carlton. How do I know it's the most told? Because I tell it. It's a joke. Anyway. But I do tell it. I've told this story around the world. I've told this story to hundreds of thousands of people because this is all I do. I do 60, 70 keynotes a year. What I'm trying to tell you is I don't have a job. Full stop. There's no further. You know what I'm gonna do after my talk today? Nothing. So this is what I do. I yell at people. We put it in our book, Unselling. I've told it on stage to hundreds of thousands of people. How much does this cost the Ritz-Carlton every time I tell it? How much? $5,000, yes. That's called a disclosure statement, I guess. I'm kidding. It's not $5,000. It's $7,000. But that's it. I tell the story because it's awesome. I love it. And the fact that the two bottom line, not even front line, because they're not facing customers, bottom line people, meaning they are the lowest appreciated and usually lowest paid in the rung, created this story that changed a brand's animal to me from a lion to a giraffe. This is a huge thing, realizing that these are the people that influence this brand, that these are the people, and it's those people that take the brunt of the complaints and never any of the compliments. Your CSRs, if you are a virtual company, any of your support people, they're taking the brunt. So decisions of people in this room are being made by people who do not have to feel the effect of said decisions. I'm going to pick something random about this, okay? Let's talk about a decision that's made. I'll pick it out of a hat, like I'll just randomly, like resort fees. To pick a random topic. We decide in whatever fancy office we've got, usually the table's usually oak or something like that, and we decide, hey, we're gonna start charging our guests money for things that they already thought they were getting, and we're not gonna make it clear that they have to pay that either until they check in or they check out. Don't worry, I don't have to enforce it. I don't work the front desk. So either I start my trip to, I'm going to pick a random city, Vegas. And I know this isn't a Vegas event. It is gaming for the world. But let's focus for 1 second on this. I'm going to pick that. No problem for you to implement this. You don't have to feel the hate. But our front desk people, the first people our guests see and the last people they see leaving are the ones who don't want to say this thing they have to, which is the answer to when somebody walks up and says, what the f*** is this? And they're like, oh, it's a resort fee. You're like, well, what does it include? Oh, it includes Wi-Fi, a fitness center, and something that people in the 70s used to read, the newspapers. Everything you get included if you stay at the Ramada Inn, you're going to pay $30, $40, hell, $50 a day for. And that's what I feel when I start and I leave. And it ain't no problem because the front desk person's got to deal with it. Resort fees, if they are undisclosed at the time of purchase of the room, are unethical. Tweet that. Remember that. Why? Because every person has hated them as customers. It is misleading and is unethical, and I know why places do it. Multiple reasons. Free cash, but also, if I book on Expedia, they don't get a chunk of that. I know this game. I understand it. It is unethical, and it hurts your brand if it's not disclosed. It should be. And I know they have to go to court right now. They're fighting. And I know you know this. They're fighting in court right now that you have to disclose these things. You shouldn't have to have a judge to tell you to tell up front what I have to pay. They're your guests. They're not a nuisance. They are the guests. And instead of me thinking I got a great deal on a $39 a night room, I mean, it's actually $80 a night. I don't know what's next with resort fees. Is next time when resort fees is included is housekeeping? Running water? You know what I would pay $40 a day extra for? An outlet beside the bed. That's what I would pay extra. I would pay an outlet fee. Sir, would you like an outlet accessible to the bed, or would you want to have to lift the king mattress and throw out your back to search for it? And then it's like Indiana Jones Temple of Doom under there. You're like, my God, is that the amulet? And you're going down there, and there's like three animals. You're like, nobody's ever pulled this mattress back. That's what I would pay $39 a day extra for. Let's just be on the up and up. If the room's going to cost me $80 all in, then it's $80 room. The problem is it looks good on the surface level when I book. Oh, God, $39 or $59 or even $189 when it's usually $250. But all you're doing is delaying the outrage and passing it along to your front line, who create your stories. Empower them. Give them the ability to make things right. The Ritz-Carlton believes in their people so much, they call them the ladies and gentlemen of the Ritz-Carlton. Each employee is authorized up to $2,000 per guest, per incident, to either delight or make right. I don't mean they're walking around the resort making it rain on people. Although if they did, I would stay there. What I'm saying is the employees feel like my job actually is to make it the best experience possible, instead of it just being stated on a website. If our guests, if our players are our world, which they're supposed to be, then let's make sure from start to finish their experience is at or above their expectations. And it doesn't have to be very high. To be great in the gaming industry, you only have to be average because everybody else sucks. That should be the slogan for the Gaming Expo next year. Suck less than the others. Honestly, my expectations now have become so low, I am blown away by regular service. Blown away. I'll give you an example here. Again, I'm trying not to name casino names. I'm trying to be Canadian. It is very hard for me to stay polite right now and be Canadian, but one casino that I've given all of our loyalty to for 6 years, second highest tier, the top tier that you can actually get to without being invited to. And but here's the thing, I actually don't have the entitlement issues you might expect, because I sound like it. I don't want a comp suite at the top and a butler and all these things, although that's pretty cool. But I didn't ask for these things. All I asked for is what I'm given. And what I'm told I'm given. I want to be, if I get a nice little express line to Starbucks, I get to hop the cab line, cool. But we earn our status through play, not through matching, not through a branded credit card, play. That's how we do it. So when I'm at this place for 6 years now, I haven't really had a host that has any staying power or does anything for me. Finally, disruption happens. And I love disruption. And somebody walks out to me at a slot machine with an iPad. And they're like, Mr. Stratton. And I'm like, who wants to know? And he's like, I just wanted to thank you for being one of our top players at whatever level. They're like, I just wanted to say thank you. And I'm like, oh, this is so cool. And a little bit creepy, but cool. Because you just found me at a machine while I'm playing, and I forgot I put my card in. I'm like, how did you find me? And he's like, is there anything I can do? And I'm like, oh, he even hung on the anything. Like, he went anything. I'm like, anything? He's like, anything. And I'm like, could you get us a late checkout for tomorrow? Because our flight's not till 3. And he's like, of course, just go to the front desk and they'll take care of you. I'm like, okay, oh, cool, okay. Anything? I'm like, I didn't even ask for a bag of Coke. Like, what is happening here? I didn't do the anything move, right? I already had it. So I'm like, what is happening? And he's like, is there anything else you can do? I'm like, funny thing is, you have done nothing yet. So when you say, can I do anything else, you're implying you've done something already for me. And that was the final straw that broke the camel's back for me. You see, when I leave a casino, when we leave, when your players leave your program, your loyalty programs that this industry invented, you are the pioneers of it. When your player finally leaves, it's not one incident, it's erosion. And player erosion needs more focus. It's those little things that add up. I switched over, and I can name this because it's a good place, and I switched to Cosmo. I mean, it's a good story, not a good place, but it's a good story. I go to Cosmo, same play. We like a couple of things. We love 100-hand video poker. I'm loving that stuff. I love video poker, love slots. We used to play tables much, don't do it now. Love poker. So we're sitting there, we go do our thing. Same thing. A host, we climb up the ladder at Cosmo. Boom, top tier. Look at me now, Mom. So we get up top tier. Guy walks up, same thing. Ba-boom. iPad. Mr. Stratton? And I'm like, yes. My name is and I'm your casino player rep. I'm like, just say host. And I would just like to say, is there anything I can do for you? And I'm like, I ain't doing this again. And I'm like, no, thank you. We're good. He's like, okay, cool. Here's my card. My cell number's on there. Text me before you check out tomorrow. This is the first time ever anybody's ever given me a card and said, text me, which is how I like to talk to people. I wish I could buy an iPhone without the phone part. I hate the, well, I guess that's an iPod. But anyways. It's already invented, moron. All right, so I want an iPod with a cell signal, but no phone capabilities. That's what I want. That's an iPad. Okay, so anyway. So you go through this, and he's like, text me before you check out, like a half hour before you go. And I'm like, are you going to come to my room? Like, what's happening? You're going to give me a hug goodbye? Like, this is getting weird, dude. And I already had a bad experience. So I'm like, okay, and I text him. Next morning, I'm like, hey, man, we're going to leave soon. Is that okay? Like, do I have to ask for... Do I need permission to check out from you now? Is this what you're saying? Like, you're keeping tabs, and you will leave when we say you can leave. Text me back in 11 minutes later. Hey, Scott, hope you enjoyed the trip. I noticed there was $370 in charges on the room there. I've taken them off for you. The suite was already comped. And I really appreciate you coming. You text me anytime you're coming back. And I'm like, well, two things. I'm like, wow. And my other thought was, I should have charged more crap to the room. So... I'm like, that was so cool. He's like, you need a ride to the airport? I'm like, no, we had a car already. I text him, we're like, hey, we're coming in 2 weeks. Anything you wanna, you told me to text you for coming. And I'm fine with booking our own room. I'm fine with doing all that. 12 minutes later, writes back, corner suite, balcony, you're all set. Limo will reach you at the airport to send me your flight info. It took me 92 trips, 13 years coming here for one person to make me feel special. And I am a diva. I am a snowflake. I need treated well. One of the reasons Allison and I love Vegas is because we like getting treated well. And we love Vegas. We got married at the drive-thru chapel, $62. I proposed to her. Her wedding ring has the longitude and latitude of Caesar's pool where I proposed to her. Not on the same trip, by the way. Two separate trips, proposal and wedding. When I say we love here, we love here. But it's feeling now, recently, we're loving it to spite itself. You have got increased competition to my favorite city. You have increased competition across the country and across the world. You've got now sports betting, I don't know if you heard about it. So that has happened. So now you're not the only game in town. Well, yeah, but now we got bachelorette and bachelor parties. You hang on tight because you hold on to your cowboy boots because Nashville is kicking your ass. Ambassadorette parties. I did a poll last week on multiple platforms, unscientific. And when I said bachelorette party city, 56% of people said Nashville. And 44% said Vegas when I gave them the option of those two cities. Go back 15 years, Vegas is 90%. It's switched. It's shifting. Which is why the resort fee, I don't mind the parking fees here because any other normal city on the planet charges you parking fees. I don't have as big an issue with that. It's the resort thing that really kicks it. It's like the final kick in the nuts on top of the cherry. That doesn't make any sense, but you know what I'm saying, right? Where it goes, and it just adds up. It's the wrong time. It's the wrong time. If you think we're losing a younger audience, we're not talking to millennials or the Gen WTF or whatever they are, the next group. We're not ready for them. This is the problem because we have all these increased competition, maybe less visitation, and now we're going to throw something on top of it that causes a nuisance. This is the worst time possible for resort fees right now. The worst time. But they look great on a balance sheet. They look so good on a balance sheet. They will not look good in the long term. I can promise you how that works. Because you're the brand. Everything you do is part of the brand. I want this up in all the rooms in all of your locations. Maybe not this, it's creepy, but something like this. Living, breathing brands every single time. Every single time. And we have to affect that on a daily basis. And even when things go wrong, we can make them right. There's a thing called the service recovery paradox. And that is saying, people that are much smarter than me, psychologists say, that the service recovery paradox is a very basic premise. And that is, if a customer comes to you with a complaint and you fix it at or above their want, they look at you better than they looked at you before the error. Does that make sense? So they look, I'll give you an example here, okay? So we have three types of customers: ecstatic, static, and vulnerable. Ecstatic ones are coming no matter what. You send them a $5 free play, they're hopping on a plane. So me, but I didn't come for the $5. By the way, if you sent me a direct mail piece that it was instead of $5 in free play, you said, Scott, we know you love video poker, you play it all the time, hell, you've earned your entire status playing video poker, we got a new machine in, you wanna come try it first? I would be on the first flight here with no free play. Does that make sense? If you just customize it, if you personalize it, instead of just dear first name, comma, insert offer here, you matched it to me. You got all my, you know more about me than me. It's scary. And that's what I meant by the industry had so much information not done anything with it. It's because you have all that info, and every mailing, every email is untargeted to me, except that I'm a player at that brand. So, ecstatic ones refer others. Static, the middle one, is the F word of your industry. It's fine. How was your visit to our casino? Fine. How was your play on the app? Fine. Nobody's ever fine. No trip to Atlantic City has ever been fine. No trip to Vegas has ever been fine. No trip to a standalone casino has been fine. It's what they're saying is, I'm not going to tell you what was wrong. But this is the problem. You're like, yeah, but I want to send you this, or we have our casino. This is our news release and stuff. You know where I get my news? Twitter and podcasts about gaming. That's where I get it. I read Vital Vegas. I read Melt's Vegas. Every time he does a post, I read it. I listen to the Better Life podcast, B-E-T-T-O-R, because it's better. Anyway, but that's how I get all my news about your industry. We don't get our news from you. You have to be okay with that. You got to give them access to it. One of the biggest things about Vegas is like the Cosmo is one of the only casinos that lets you film inside, right? And I learned it from these fine folks in this room right now. And they said, why can't we? And the answer is because we don't allow it. F you, it's not good enough anymore. Then we're going to do that. And so then now they're all going to go to Cosmo. We don't know how to attract millennials. You do. You're just not doing it. Millennials don't need 76 bells and whistles. They want to pay what they've paid for, pay the price they thought they were going to pay for, and feel special. End of equation. Age has nothing to do with that. I once heard of a CMO of one of the giant ones on this strip say, we don't want to develop that app. Our customers don't know how to use phones. And that was last year. And the CMO is 72 years old. Maybe he doesn't use it. It doesn't mean other 72-year-olds don't use it. My mom texts me all the times that I don't reply to. And then I do reply, and she knows I like to text, and she texts me, she's like, how's the trip going? I'm like, oh, great, send. And then my phone rings, and it's hers. And I'm like, why would you text and call? She goes, well, then I know you're by your phone. I'm like, one thing, I'm always by my phone. Two thing, that's entrapment. That's entrapment, okay? We've got to realize that this stuff is not about millennials. We gotta take some blame. But this is not you, by the way. I speak to all industries, and they're all saying, well, the problem's millennials and the changing habits of them and the changing habits of all these type of things. In reality, not once is it ever our fault. Maybe we overdid this. Maybe we overdid that. I asked to stop the mailings from all the casinos I get, except Cosmo, because they don't send me 17 things a week. I have a list from one casino chain here. I won't name them. It's Caesars. Because you know why I can say your name right now? Because I got 17 emails from you in 5 days with offers. Nobody gambles that much. And if I did, I would live in a casino. Right? This is the problem. We are part of the problem, and that is a good thing, because if we cause part of that problem, we can fix it. You can't fix recession coming or not. You can't fix climate. You can fix the experience from start to finish. And it's a very basic math equation. I know you've got an ass ton of data. It's very basic math. The better you treat me, the better I feel, the more I come back and send others. End of story, end of equation. Age is a number on a driver's license. We spend 21 years of our life at the start trying to look older, and the last 60 trying to look younger. Age is irrelevant. Okay? Focus on experience, online or off. Okay? We get that. I play a lot of these things, even though these places come in and they show up, because disruption is a very simple thing. Disruption is basic. Disruption, the definition is change without time to resist it. And it scares the hell out of people. Because it used to be we had decades. If the change was coming, we've got time. We got time. And now it's not even years or decades, it's months that fundamental things change. Right? What about sports betting? A couple years ago, dead in the water. Yes? And then Superman shows up, takes him on, bumps me for a keynote, and off you go. It's change without time to resist it. And we realize we shouldn't be resenting young people who are doing part of that and showing up with these companies with their man buns and hoodies, changing stuff. We should be going, okay, so how do I help things? How do I make things better? How do I change them? Okay? Disruption does not have to equal destruction. I got one last slide to show you, but before I do, please join the wonderful Allison and myself on the On Podcast. Comes out every week. It's free. Just text hook me up to 33444 if you have a United States-based phone. That'll give you the info on the show. And if you sign up today, we got a new book coming out called The Jackass Whisperer in 3 weeks. How to deal with the worst people on earth at work, at home, and online, even when the jackass is you. 125 jackasses are named in it. Types of jackasses. Each jackass is named, and then there's a jackass response and a whisperer response. You choose either to extend the jackassery or end it. There's a checkbox on the inside cover that you check off which jackasses you are. And then you compare your score at the back of the book. Are you a part-timer all the way to a founder, C-level jackass? If you sign up through this and just reply to the sign-up email you get a text. It lasts for email. Reply to us. I'm only doing this for the show. Reply to it directly and give me your address. We'll send you this book for nothing. No catch, no charge, for free. Okay, if you want it, send it, or I'll send you a PDF of it. If you want to print, you let me know. Sound good? It's just for fun. There's no hook to it. I'm not trying to sell you on some kind of program or something. I don't do consulting because I don't like humans. So, but I'll come out of retirement for any gaming company, not consulting, but I'll give you my thoughts. Just sign up, email any of your stuff. I'll be happy to. If I'm in your city, if I'm in your state, if I'm in your country, and you're there and I'm there, I'll come hang out. I'll come look at your property. I'll talk to you. I'll download your app. I love this industry. And I want it to go even further and even better. The last thing I'm going to show you is my favorite tweet of all time. This is Men's Humor. They tweet, this morning, I gave birth to a food baby, and I think Taco Bell is the father. How would you reply to this? Is Taco Bell? You can't stoop to their level. Stoop intended. There's no lower form of humor than Men's Humor. And Taco Bell replies with the only reply possible, and they said, I want a DNA test. Thank you, Vegas, for having me today.
So the day before Scott's keynote, him and I actually met up at the Palazzo, and we sat at a closed, empty table game, blackjack, whatever it was, and we talked a little bit about like his keynote and our visit, whatever, and then we ended up talking like 20, 25 minutes about this stuff. Still, customer service and the challenges you have as a gambler, as a customer, trying to feel appreciated or trying to understand the systems, etc. And between that conversation with Scott and listening to his keynote again, I'm inspired to bring him back on the show to continue this conversation, because in The Better Life, both in the serious parts, the parts that I seriously consider part of The Better Life, and the jokes that I make about The Better Life, being a patron to a casino and your experience in that venue is one of the fundamentals of The Better Life. So I think this is a conversation that is worthy of having again, or having more of. So Scott, consider this your official invite. I will follow up with you. But I think that there is so much more to talk about, and especially with Eric's expertise on loyalty programs, etc., I think we can extract even a little bit more value on how to get your best experience, or how to demand the best service out of a casino that you would like to frequent. We'll be back later this week, probably Thursday, with this week's episode. May or may not have a guest, still figuring that out, but we will be back on Thursday. Patreon subscribers will have another set of audio today or tomorrow. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife is where you can support the show and listen to that audio. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck on all of your casino goings and wagers this week. I'm Timothy Lawson on behalf of Eric Rosenthal. Good night. Good luck.